We don't just have a prayer room just to say we're a praying church. There are praying churches that don't have prayer rooms. There's obviously lots of praying churches that have prayer rooms. There's also churches that have prayer rooms that aren't praying churches. it's not necessarily the defining factor.
You're listening to the Presence Pioneers podcast.
Well, hey everyone, welcome to today's podcast episode. I'm your host, Matthew Lilly, and have special guest with us, Caleb Culver from Radiant Church in Kalamazoo, Michigan. He is the co-author of the song Reckless Love, which I'm sure many of you have heard of. He was involved in IHOP Kansas City for some years. And so we're going to talk all things worship, prayer rooms, songwriting, etc. today. Before we dive in, just want to welcome anyone that may be new today. We want to help you on this podcast experience and host the presence of God, because we believe God's presence changes everything. So we do interviews and Bible teachings about worship, prayer, revival, missions. And so if you are passionate about those things, then you have found the right podcast. So be sure to hit follow or subscribe wherever you're tuning in today. If you have been tracking with us, if you're a part of the podcast community, welcome back. We love you guys. We're grateful for every email, every like, every share, every comment, every rating and review on your apps, any ways that you engage with us, we really appreciate that. Thank you so much for tracking with us, and would appreciate it if you share today's episode with your friends. That would be great. Well, let's dive in. Caleb, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
So I think first things first, I was snooping around on X and I saw you made a comment about how LeBron James was not the GOAT. And so I just have to say, I agree. Yeah. Why is Michael Jordan the GOAT? That would be my take.
Yeah, I mean, 6-0 in the finals. I mean, he has the stats, but winning, and then also defense. I mean, defensive player of the year, multiple years.
Yeah.
On top of just an unbelievable finals record. If you look at the
incredible
last 7 years with the Lakers, it's been early elimination, missing the playoffs, and then the only title was the COVID year that didn't even basically count because it was anyway. I'm tired of hearing that he's the GOAT. I don't even think he's in this era. So I'm a Thunder fan.
Okay. Though,
so I'm rooting for my Thunder to go the distance.
Totally. I didn't prepare you for that question, but I just thought it would be a funny one to open up with because I saw that
all of LeBron haters, you can keep listening. He's great. And I'm not going to deny that.
He's a great player. Amazing. So, tell us a story about Reckless Love. I mean, pretty much anyone who's listened to this is going to have heard that song before. And you wrote that with Corey Asbury. What's the story? What's the song story for that?
Yeah, I've been playing the same worship team as Corey for years. We met at the International House of Prayer, played together. And then when they moved to Colorado Springs, Corey and Anna, my wife and I, about 6 months later, moved out there when Dave and Dan Perkins offered a position for the Desperation Leadership Academy. And so we had been at New Life Church, involved in New Life Worship and Desperation Band, and had a great 4 years there. And so, yeah, that phrase, "Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God," was a phrase that Corey had for a while. He used to sing it just in spontaneous moments, not over any specific melody, you know. And even that specific phrase, reckless love, There were several authors who've actually used that phrase before, but that line in particular, you know, was Corey's and always stuck with him. And he came in to work, we worked together, and he's like, "Hey man, I had, you know, that phrase I've had for a while." I was like, "I actually had a dream and I was singing it and I had this melody, and let's write around it." And just began kind of sharing and talking. And honestly, it came together really quick. He kind of was like, "Hey, I'm feeling 6-5-4-1 for chord progression," which is, we're both 2000s childs, and so like Goo Goo Dolls was huge influence for us. So they're like 6-5-4-1 chord progression like all day, and it just always feels good.
That little walk down, yeah, just it's nice.
Black Balloon name, it's like in all their songs, but it just is awesome. So, and I just immediately started playing that melody, da 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 da. And he right away was like, "Dude, that's it." And that kind of became the melody for the bridge later. But the song came together in about 30 minutes, just really quick. But really, it was formed in the season that we were in, and just feeling the love of the Father, experiencing the love of the Father and his just sovereignty, and just in all of our jacked upness, like the grace and mercy and how he just chases us down through difficult seasons. And Corey in particular was going through a difficult season. There was some health stuff with the second born, and came together. We wrote 90% of it, and then Corey wrote the bridge later with that melody with a third author named Rand, who I've only met once. But yeah, I mean, it was funny, like when we wrote it, like I didn't think of it as a worship song, to be honest. Like and it surprised me that people would even think of it as a worship song primarily. And so it was right in our transition. We moved from Colorado to Kalamazoo. We played it for the first time at our Seek Night here at Radiant. And I just remember Lee and so many people were like, man, there's something about that song. And we went on a trip to San Antonio in February to a buddy of mine's church. And Steph Gretzinger was there as well. And like I remember showing up to the trip, and Steph, you know, if you know her, she's just like really intense, like loves Jesus. She's unbelievable. But that comes up, I'm like, hey, Steph. And I'd known her, and she looks at me super intensely. And then she like hugs me and she goes, thank you. Thank you for writing that song. I mean, it was so, I was like, you're welcome. I didn't write it for you. We're like, we didn't write it for you. So she ended up taking it back to Bethel and leading it. And just the YouTube rip from that song, from that service, ended up blowing up. And then felt like the next couple months, I mean, it was just like every day there was, you know, a week later, like Michael W. Smith was like tagging me an Instagram post singing it. And I was like, oh my gosh,
it's crazy.
And then like weeks later, like, you know, I log in the morning and Justin Bieber is worshiping, singing Reckless Love, and people are commenting, you know, praising God or asking what song it is. And I was just like, what is happening?
That's
and
wild.
It just was surprising to see how God breathed on it. And then following that was just, you know, massive controversy, just pretty much solely around that word reckless.
Yeah.
And that was crazy. At first I was trying to engage with people, thinking that people wanted to engage in it, but really most people just wanted to condemn. And we had pastors, you know, I won't name the specific denomination, but a lot from a specific denomination write emails and even CC our pastor here and say if we didn't repent, we were going to burn in hell.
Oh my gosh.
Truly, like literally saying that we were apostate and we were going to go to hell because of what we were doing and saying. And we try to engage in the conversation to kind of explain. And, you know, for me, you know, the Bible frequently will use words and could even have negative connotation to it to convey the severity and the completeness of it. You know, like the phrase, you've ravished my heart, you know, my sister, my bride. Mm. That word for ravaged literally means rape and pillage. Obviously in that context, what it's saying is like, there's such a, he's saying that you have completely captivated my heart, but it's an intense word that's used for, and you see that all throughout scriptures when you look at Hebrew in particular.
Yeah.
But that idea of like reckless only can mean negative connotation versus it meaning, it just basically means agape. That God's love loves without a demand of return for its own. And, you know, that's so the controversy was crazy, but kind of in the midst of it, you know, we had so many stories of testimonies or healings or salvation, people that were going to commit suicide. And so like, while people are kind of chirping about a word where I'm like, you know, I'm going to take salvation and, you know, fruit over like people getting mad or upset or whatever. And I don't mind that people want to ask questions or even if people disagree and be like, I don't like to use that word. I don't even care. That's fine. But that was just kind of part of the swirl of the song. But kind of by the end of it, I was kind of tired of the fanfare. Like I was tired of talking about it, tired of all of that, but grateful for the fruit that's kind of come out. So it's still cool to see. It was on last week, someone sung it on American Idol.
That's wild.
And we'll hear stories of people that were like watched on TV and they got saved or they encountered the Lord because this song is just open doors. So it's been crazy to see what God's done through it and, you know, grateful to have written on it and been a part of that testimony. So
Yeah, it's a great song. I love it. Have you seen some of the videos of people? Probably it's been some years now, but trying to play that melody that you wrote on the piano, that, you know, that kind of goes along with the song, and they can't get the rhythm right because it sounds like it's in 4/4, but the song's in 6/8.
Oh yeah.
And so people trying to like get that little lick, oh, yeah, is so, so funny.
That was a whole other debate. Is it in 4/4 and 6/8?
Right, right.
Time this drummer community was on arguing, and they whoever was in it, it was literally like, I'm not kidding, like 700 comments. It's 4/4 and 6/8. So eventually Corey and I got on and we're like, it's 6/8, you know, and yeah. Then people were still like, just because the author says it, it was so funny. Like, I'm like, okay, that's, you guys funny. Just want to argue about stuff. But
of course. Yeah. Well, that's awesome, man. I'd love to hear a little bit about your journey. I know you're at Radiant Church in Kalamazoo, Lee Cummings, and God's doing some amazing things there. You mentioned a little bit of your story with being in Colorado. Knew you were at IHOP in Kansas City, but give us just a little bit of the sense of your journey. How did you get into worship? And I know you've been involved in prayer rooms. How did you kind of get into that kind of ministry?
Yeah, born in upstate New York, spent a few years in my real, real early years in Africa on the mission field with my parents in Zaire, which is now Congo. Came back, my parents planted a church in upstate New York. The 90s, you know, we were close to Toronto, and you know, there was a lot of renewal, and our church really experienced the renewal and the presence of God. My parents in particular, even though it didn't quite touch me as a 8-9-year-old, yeah, impacted our church a ton, and as well as just my parents carrying a heart for worship and prayer. Then when I was 14, really, it just felt like the Lord circled that year on the calendar of my life. Really encountered me, spoke to me, called me. I mean, I kept receiving prophetic words about worship and worship leading, and that I was supposed to be a worship leader and a songwriter, and you know, to the point of like literally in a Miami hotel lobby, somebody stopping me and saying, "You're gonna write songs that millions of people are gonna sing, and for the glory of God," or just like crazy stuff. And I'm a 14-year-old; like, I don't know what to do with any of this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Probably shouldn't have even been telling me it, to be honest. But I just had a sense, you know, I loved worship and I loved the presence of God, but I had no, like I, at that time, it was a different era. You know, I'm 39. I didn't know a paid worship leader. Like I didn't even know that like existed. To me, it was like,
right,
I could like play in a band like Delirious or play keys for Matt Redman. Like that was the only like thing in my head. But I just knew I was called and meant to lead people into the presence of God, be a musician, write songs, and just didn't know what that would look like. And heard about the International House of Prayer when I was 15, like, hey, this place worships and prays all the time. And I went down, and that's a whole story in and of itself, but the conference, and it weirded me out at first, just a lot of what was happening.
Sure.
I went to the prayer room, and I just saw people my age that loved the word of God, loved the presence of God. And I knew that's where I was supposed to go, where I wanted to go. So that kind of begun the journey, and did the Bible school there. I had no idea where the journey was taking me, to be honest. I had no ambition. Probably to a fault. Like I probably should have had more like career goals or like where I'm going. Like I had no idea. I just was taking the next step. but yeah, Kansas City. 9 years, you know, got married at the age of 20. My wife, Rachel's also a worship leader, incredible worship leader, songwriter, singer. And so we ministered together in the house of prayer for years, and then went out to New Life Church for 4 years, had a great time there. Been at Kalamazoo for 8.5 years with Lee Cummings. And that's just been incredible. Feels like home. Yeah. So I know I jumped through a lot, but that's kind
that's
of
great.
Basic story arc, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing. I'd love to come back to IHOP Kansas City because obviously there's been a lot going on there. But first, before that, just tell us what's happening at Radiant right now. I mean, it seems like I wasn't even aware that Radiant existed. I mean, I've been involved in leading prayer rooms and different things for years now. Gosh, yeah, over 15 years. But it's just been in somewhat recent years that I feel like Radiant's really kind of come on the map and God's really used it in amazing ways, and Lee's voice and the network and everything that's come out of there to stir up prayer, particularly with this emphasis in the local church. But yeah, just give us a sense of what's happening at Radiant, what you're doing there. Yeah, what's happening? Yeah.
Hey guys, it's Matthew. We'll get back to the episode in just a moment. If you're enjoying the podcast, please consider becoming a paid subscriber. Paid subscribers receive exclusive access to brand new bonus podcast episodes every month, along with our library of previous bonus episodes. You will also get free access to my Enjoying Prayer video course, bonus articles from our Substack newsletter, discounts on books, and more. You can become a paid subscriber today for only $5 a month or $50 a year. If you've enjoyed this free podcast, becoming a paid subscriber is a simple way for you to help us cover the cost of producing this resource and partner with Presence Pioneers Media in equipping the church in day and night prayer, prophetic worship, missions, and revival. Click the link in the show notes or visit media.presencepioneers.org to sign up today.
To be honest, I didn't know Kalamazoo existed before Radiant Church. Like, I kind of thought it was like a made-up name that people use, like from Timbuktu to Kalamazoo. And I was like, well, Timbuktu is real, but Kalamazoo is made up. And so I didn't envision being here. We do love it. We love the city. We love the region. But just what Lee has built here, just a spirit and truth church. When I met him, he just kind of was a freak because he like had such high leadership skill and was such a high level leader, but he loved theology and loved revival in the presence of God. And I was like, I don't know if I've ever met anyone that like can do all three so well. Normally it's like high leadership, but then maybe, you know, a lower love for the presence of God or a lower view of doctrine, or like love the presence of God, love revival, like ooh, a little flimsy on theology and doctrine. But to carry all three and the church really carries that identity. And like you said, strong emphasis on the local church, which I felt like I really needed. And, you know, I really believe in, go figure, you know, the governance that Jesus and the apostles set up for Christ's body on the earth, you know, the church. And we have kind of four areas. Like the local church is primary. And for me, I lead the worship and prayer expressions, oversee that, but I'm also the senior associate pastor as well. So I'm pretty engaged in the local church side. But we have media and music, Radiant City Music and the media we have. We also have a ministry training school, a school of ministry, and we have a prayer center downtown. And our strategy is kind of morning, noon, and night. Monday through Thursday, we have two evenings that we don't have prayer right now, but we can kind of talk about that, kind of how that structure and range. But that's really the heartbeat of Radiant, too, praying and worshiping church. And we put a prayer center right in the middle of our city because we have three locations. And so the image is it's the heartbeat. It's right in the center. And it's pumping life to everything we do, the hands and feet of the body. And so it's a beautiful work, beautiful church. We're honored to just come alongside. Jesus is the one building it. And it's really been a joy to be here and just some of the messaging coming out, just that heart of worship and prayer, love for the presence of God, but in the context of a healthy local church. So it's been beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really unique what's happening up there. I've been up there a few times for the Arise Shine conference, a leadership conference that's hosted up there. And it's really cool. So you guys are doing morning, noon, and night live worship and prayer sets in your prayer center downtown. Then you got three church locations kind of in the region as well. That's amazing.
Yeah. And then I didn't mention it, but then we have the Radiant Network, and there's about 60 churches that are in our family of churches called the Radiant Network too. And so that's a real joy too, connecting with other spirit and truth presence driven churches. So
yeah. Speak to people that would maybe are involved in local churches that don't have prayer rooms or pastor. I know we have some pastors and different people that are on here. Most folks that are listening in are already sold on the idea of a prayer room, but in your mind as a pastor and as in a ministry that's so focused on the local church, what is the value of taking the time to have some kind of prayer room in a local church? Because that takes resources, that takes time, it takes manpower.
Yep.
Especially if you're going to have live worship, you know, you'll have so many worship leaders, so many people that can run sound or whatever it might be. Like, you know, that pulls away from resources. So like in your view, what's the value of it? What are you guys seeing? Like, why is it worth it for you guys to do that?
Yeah, I'd say, first of all, even before I get into that, you know, I do believe like pastors should have a sense of being called into it and then count the cost. I think
good.
I think if you just build it because you see other people do it and it's successful, you know, when you come against resistance and some of the pain and difficulty, like I think you want to really know that the Lord led you and gave you grace to him. It's kind of what Jesus says, like, hey, before you build the tower, you got to count the cost first.
Yeah.
And I do think it's important. Part of that is you know, I think you can be a praying church without a prayer room. So we don't just have a prayer room just to say we're a praying church. There are praying churches that don't have prayer rooms. There's obviously lots of praying churches that have prayer rooms. There's also churches that have prayer rooms that aren't praying churches. it's not necessarily the defining factor, but.
Okay. You know, before you keep going, that was an interesting thing you just said. All three of those.
Yeah.
So, I mean, do you mind teasing that out for a second before I hate to cut you off, but I think that's, provoking. So I'd love to know what you mean by some of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think every pastor and leader knows that the church is supposed to pray. It's in almost everybody's values. You know, no one's out there saying like prayer is bad.
Right.
But unfortunately, I think it's very easy to delegate and to treat prayer like a department. And having a prayer department doesn't make you a praying church. I mean, I think, you know, one, you have to be a praying leader. You have to, if you're not a praying pastor or praying leader, then you're not going to, there's not going to be a praying church that follows, but not in a critical sense, but you know, I've connected with churches, I've been at churches that have a prayer room, but then when I get into the ethos of the church, it's like, they don't pray about big decisions. It's not spirit led. There's no evidence of prayer, you know, in services. And then if you actually talk with congregants, like they aren't living lives of prayer. And I feel like sometimes it can be like let's kind of make sure we check the box of being a praying church. So if we have a prayer room that has some prayer hours, as long as that's happening, we can kind of say that. And I know that sounds overly critical, but I think it's important.
I think you're right.
I think we've had to come to that place at Iridian Church too, where it was like, we can even have a thriving prayer room with great prayer meetings happening and just acknowledge the fact that I don't know that we are truly a praying church yet. And and so I feel like, you know, when the prayer room flows out of a holistic praying church, you know, heartbeat, then it's beautiful and it's synergistic. And I believe that that's happening here, you know, but if not, then, you know, I think, yeah.
That's good.
My thoughts on that. I've had to have the Lord convict me. And I think even 2 years ago, we were under a little bit of shaking of like really asking like, okay, is prayer the first thing we do? Does it initiate? Like, how much of what we are doing is birthed out of prayer? I think there's lots of evidences that we have to kind of pay attention to if we're a praying church. And so, yeah.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. I love that you said a couple things. You said the leader has to be praying. You said the congregation's personal prayer lives, their personal intimacy with the Lord, not just a prayer ministry in the church. And then you said that the decisions have to be based in prayer. You know, it's not like we have prayer over here on the side, but then we're just kind of making decisions in a way that seems right to us and kind of makes sense or what the metrics say or whatever, but you're actually seeking the Lord about major decisions and even minor decisions that are being made.
And I want to
I love those.
Tease out a little bit too, because this is something the Lord, I kind of referenced this 2 years ago. But I think even in evaluating, you know, the IHOP model, so to speak, and I think that through IHOP, there was a lot of positive of calling the church to prayer. But I think there was, for us at least, you know, I had to kind of search through and examine, you know, how much of this kind of prayer service model is getting into the hearts of the people to pray themselves. And I think you can, a model is a model. And so you can be praying church and use a model and it fuels it. You could not be and use a model and it doesn't, you know, it's amoral. But I do think the temptation sometimes with a prayer room is to have prayer services where people come and watch the leaders pray and watch right. and listen to the ones pray on the mic and feel like I prayed because I came to a prayer meeting. And really, like, you know, one of the phrases we've been saying just internally, but, you know, I'll say, like, God doesn't answer prayer. And people are like, what? What are you talking about? Like, God doesn't answer prayer. God answers prayers of faith. That faith is the substance. It's the reality. It's, to me, like, if I'm in a prayer meeting and my mind goes blank and I'm just regurgitating what's happening on stage, then there's no faith. I didn't participate. There wasn't a reality. Like, every time Jesus teaches on prayer, I've been going through the last 2 years a ton. It's all about reality. It's just like, hey, the heathens use repetition. They think mm-hmm. that's powerful. It's not reality. The Pharisees do it to be seen. That's not real. When you do it, make it real. Approach him as a father. Go into the secret place. Like, using examples of, you know, the guy who uses the wrong language, you know, beats his chest and says, you know, I'm a sinner. And all that. He talks about the reality of that. And I think for us, that was that check of, like, Is there faith? Is there substance? When people come to a prayer meeting, are they actually connecting with the Lord? Are they looking at him? Are they speaking to him directly? And are we giving them opportunity to do that? So we use a stupid acronym, UFO, which is unity, faith, overflow. And we talk about that for our prayer meetings, our goals, our unity, you know, unity in the spirit and the bond of peace, unto faith, which is God saying something to us corporately, collectively. What is he saying? And are we agreeing with that? And then overflow, or meaning people are praying themselves or worshiping themselves, not worshiping themselves, but they themselves are worshiping. Yeah, there's no self-worship happening, hopefully.
Yeah.
and so we have different kind of expressions in our prayer room, you know, that when we've asked a question, are people really learning how to pray? When they come to our prayer meetings, are they growing in prayer discipleship? Are they growing in their language, in their boldness, in their scriptural prayers? We talk about daily bread prayers, like what Jesus teaches, like, don't start with big and lofty, because you can't wake up in the morning and be like, God save every single person in the world. Like, you don't have faith. There's no substance to that, right? Because I don't wake up with just this faith that God's going to save everybody in the world that day. That's why, but I can have faith for my sphere of influence or daily bread prayers. God, I have real needs that I'm asking you to meet, which is, I think, what the Lord's Prayer really teaches us to begin in that place and then to leads us to the places, you know, yours is the kingdom, power, glory forever. Amen. You know, where you're kind of kingdom focused and interceding for the world around you, but it kind of starts with your area of concern. And so, you know, I think those questions of how is our prayer model, our prayer meetings, raising up people to be praying people and that really defining if we're a praying church or not. So good. Anyway, sorry, that was kind of a tangent.
No, that's great. Yeah, great tangent. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
And I want to keep talking about this. We're going to have to continue into part two for some of this. I want to ask you a little bit more about IHOP and your time there and how you're kind of reflecting on things in light of the scandal of the last couple years. And I think you probably have some other perspective you could bring to worship and communities that are trying to cultivate, you know, culture of worship and songwriting and that kind of thing. But we'll have to do that in part two. And for those of you who don't know, we have a paid subscription. And so every other podcast episode we produce is for our paid subscribers. And so we would love for you all who are tuning in to become paid subscribers with Presence Pioneers Media. That's how we produce this podcast. And so you can do that by checking out the link in the description and signing up today, and part two will go out in about a week and you can get the rest of this conversation. But Caleb, I do want to give you a minute here at the end. I know Radiant has music and has a school and some things like that. So just any resources or, you know, ways that people could potentially engage with you guys or get resourced by you guys. Just want to give you a minute to share any of that stuff.
Yeah. Our website is radiant.church. We have a number of the, you know, music, books, resources that you can check out. And just our YouTube channel is a good way to connect as well, from services to teachings, music, all of that to you. So yeah, if any of that kind of sparks interest, then feel free. You can head to the church website and that'll kind of take you to some of the different areas.
Yeah, awesome. Some of the songs you guys are writing and have put out over the years are great. So I encourage everyone to definitely go check that stuff out. So yeah, thanks, Caleb. This has been awesome.
Yeah, glad to be here.